بسم الله بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. So today, inshallah, we're taking a look at ayah number 19 of Surah Al-Insan, Surah 76, in which Allah Ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون إذا رأيتهم حسبتهم لؤلؤا منثورا. Allah says, there will circulate among them young boys made eternal. When you see them, you would think them as beautiful as scattered pearls. So the first question, وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ, what does this mean that they will be doing, like you could say the word tawaf, right? When you make tawaf, you circumambulate, you go around something. What does it mean that they'll be going around, يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ? Well, this is different than ayah number 15, which said that they will be served drinks. People will be going around with vessels and drinks. This refers to not just specifically drinks, but all kinds of services and all kinds of foods and all kinds of everything. So you see that from ayah number 15, it was the beginning with drinks. Now this ayah is expanding and saying now they're going to be served. It's like, you know, when you have guests arrive, you start with entrees or, you know, oh, let me get you a drink. And then after that, you go into the real food. You see, subhanAllah, there seems to be this welcoming of the believers into paradise. Now, the word, وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ wildan. Wildan is the plural of walid. A walid is on the pattern of fa'il, but it indicates maf'ul, or so therefore mawlud. So the idea is someone that was recently born. In other words, someone who is young. This could refer to like a toddler or a child. So these are wildan. And when youth serve you, they move quickly, they move softly, they're very cute, they're very sweet, and they don't see themselves as equal to you, therefore they don't debate your command. And obviously these are the children of paradise, and so they are very adequate at what they do. They're not going to be crying and fighting and, you know, getting into all sorts of issues. Rather, they're going to be super adorable, and they're going to be serving you. It's nice to have servants serve you, but it's even cuter when little kids come up and they're all plump and they're so, you know, sweet. And the beautiful point about this is that Allah Ta'ala is highlighting the fact that there are different types of pleasures in this dunya. There's the pleasure of, you know, let's say eating and then drinking and so forth. There's also the pleasure of having really cute, cuddly children around you. This is a specific, this has its own sort of therapeutic effect. When you have small kids, you know, people grab children and just want to cuddle with them, and it gives you a very specific type of happiness. And so subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala is highlighting that you're going to have that, you could say, quote unquote, baby time. You know, these little kids are coming around with their drinks and they're serving, and it's absolutely adorable. And then Allah Ta'ala describes them as what? Mukhalladun. So meaning what? That they will be perpetually youthful, never going through some sort of rebellious teenage phase. And also, mukhalladun shows up twice in the Quran. Once when Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Waqi'ah, a similar ayah number 17, يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلْدَانُ مُخَلَّدُونَ, almost the exact same wording. And what does it describe? Well, there's two interpretations. One is that it's describing their youthfulness, of course, and it's مُخَلَّدُونَ in the passive tone, or in the passive voice, the majhul. And the reason is because this is what Allah Ta'ala is doing for you. This is part of Allah Ta'ala's ni'mah to you. Another opinion is from Abu Ubaidah, which understood this word mukhalladun with the Yemeni dialect, which takes the word khuldun or khaldun or khildun, khilda, which means what? Which means an earring. And so mukhalladun means they are adorned. They're adorned with rings and so on and so forth. And so they're little cute kids and they're all adorned with flashy, cute stuff. And now, so you could take both opinions and put them together and say that they are these cute kids and they have this adornments on them. Yes, and now what's important to mention, which is sad that we have to mention it, but unfortunately this ayah has been scrutinized by Orientalists, and they have made some sort of an implication that, oh, there's some sort of a sexual connotation here, that these men will be served by these youth of paradise, and therefore they're going to be requesting some sort of a, you know, perverted this, that, or the other. There's no mention of that in anywhere in the Quran, anywhere in this ayah, anywhere in hadith. This concept is completely novel. They made it up on their own, which says more about them than it says about us. We are simply saying, look, having cute kids around is part of the pleasures of paradise, in the same way you have food around, in the same way you have beautiful trees around. And they're like, and these Orientalists, I don't know what, maybe they're watching the wrong things, maybe they're thinking about the wrong things, maybe they're doing the wrong things. I don't know what's wrong with their minds, but their minds took these ayat and said, oh, you're going to be served by youth? Oh, we know what you're going to do with those young boys. SubhanAllah, I don't know where you people come from, I don't know where you're going, but this is a very bizarre and sick and twisted perspective that this is all you, basically. You know, this is in your head, and that's where it came from, and that's where it's going to stay. Alhamdulillah, we are not like this. So now, Also, it's good to note that if a servant gets older, you know, as they get age, they're going to have to be replaced. And obviously, replacement means you're going to have to train the next servant with all the same sort of ideas of like, these are my preferences, and these are my tastes and my habits, and so on and so forth. However, they never get old. They're perpetually young. They're perpetually enthusiastic. And therefore, they will learn exactly how you are, who you are, and everything will be served perfectly. Simply put, young workers are strong but inexperienced, and old workers are experienced but they're weak. But this combines the best of both worlds. They get to have the youthfulness that also develops experience and never gets older. Then, yes, so Allah Ta'ala then says, that وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلْدَانُ مُخَلَّدُونَ إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ حَسِبَتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ. Now, who is that ra'aita? And when you see them, who is the you here? It's a singular you. So this could be the primary understanding is that this is referring to the Prophet ﷺ, when you see them. But it could be referring to any of the listeners. So it could be me, you, anybody else. And it's speaking to you on an individual basis. And when you get to see this this scene or these servants, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ حَسِبَتَهُمْ, you would think of them, you would consider them to be لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. You would think of them as pearls that are scattered, or scattered pearls. Now, what's interesting is that this is the way you see it. This is the way you are thinking, which means that maybe that's not exactly what it is. This is one perspective, which is that when objects seem scattered, the implication is that they are random. But the fact of the matter is, workers usually maintain a strict formation to avoid chaos. And so it could be the case that, wallahu a'lam, Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that these workers, they may seem chaotic. They may look scattered, because hasibatum, you're the one who thinks this. That's not necessarily what it is. But you might think of this as chaotic. You're not noticing this distinguishable pattern that they are operating and collectively working in. And so this is one perspective that, subhanAllah, you see them moving around, and yet they have a system to them. And it's very beautiful to watch, and you can analyze the pattern and realize that actually this is very organized, despite the fact that they just look like cute little kids just running around. It's actually very professional. So, subhanAllah, it's really makes it more adorable. Now, there's other perspectives on this. لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. What does it mean that they look like scattered pearls? Well, one perspective is that lu'lu is something individually beautiful, and manthur is scattered, looking at it collectively. Sometimes people look good as a group, but then when you zoom in and look at one person, they don't look as good, you know? However, this seems to be saying they're beautiful from both perspectives. Whether you take a step back and look at them collectively, they look just gorgeous. They look amazing. And when you zoom into any one of them, subhanAllah, it's like a unique gem. It's like a pearl itself. And also, maybe pearls on a string that are too well organized would make it seem that each servant is like a robot. Whereas when you say scattered pearls, it gives it its own sense of uniqueness. Like, they just move how they want to move. They're not like robotically moving. So it actually gives it more cuteness as well. And there's something that's even more beautiful about scattered pearls. Perhaps the fact that if somebody keeps their pearls very organized and in a very, you know, strategic and organized way, then it kind of gives the idea that this person has so much value for them. Whereas if you see a bunch of scattered pearls, it's as if they're saying that, like, I have so many pearls, it doesn't even matter, right? So even the term scattered pearls implies that what? You have so much dominion and so much wealth that it's not that, oh, everything is so strictly organized. No. I have so much wealth, it doesn't matter. They can just go wherever, they can do whatever, it's all good anyhow. So it just kind of, it's almost like boasting of the grandeur of the situation. And of course, yes, I mentioned that point. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. Allah Ta'ala then says, and when you look there, as in paradise, when you look there, you will see pleasure and great dominion. So two things are mentioned here. Na'iman, which is very general, which is very open-ended, just pleasure. And then mulkan kabira, great dominion. So this is a very interesting ayah. Wa'idha is conditional. It's saying, and when you look, and it also the implication is that, and wherever you look, when you look and wherever you look, you will see beauty. And this is contrasting the dunya, where you could look in some places and see beauty, and then you could look in other places and see something not so beautiful, right? It's not that everywhere is beautiful. But the idea here is that it doesn't matter where you look. Whenever you look, wherever you look, you're just going to see more and more beauty. And then there's the question of why is the word ra'aita mentioned twice? وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ, and when you look, ثَمَّ, there, رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا, you will see. So ra'aita, you will see, is mentioned twice. Why the repetition? It's almost referring to, and Allah knows best, it seems to be referring to a double take. You know, you guys know what, you know, you're looking, check again, what? What was that? What was that? Whoa, 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 whoa. And it's just something that is so beautiful, so incredible, that everywhere you look in paradise, it's like you want to take a double check, a triple check. Well, I can't believe it. Let me see that again. Let me zoom in. Let me focus. Let me pay attention. What's going on here? So Allah Ta'ala is giving this impression that you are so impressed perpetually, constantly, you want to be taking these double takes. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. SubhanAllah, it has that power to it. The word thumma means there, but it implies what? There and there and there and there and there and there. Everywhere you look, there. When you look, and it's just, you keep on checking, and you're even more impressed. Na'iman is indefinite. And sometimes the implication is what? Unrestricted. You know, because if it was something specific, lam al-ahd al-na'im, then maybe we're talking about a specific type. No. Na'iman, open-ended. And it could be tanweened ta'zeem, that it's just greatness. And so, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, there are many different ahadith that talk about the greatness of paradise. I'd like to mention a couple of them that I think are quite beautiful and very much give you this anticipation. The Prophet ﷺ said what? Sahih Muslim, authentic hadith. Inni la'alamu akhira ahli al-jannati dukhulan al-jannah wa akhira ahli al-nari khuruja minha. He goes, I know of the last of inhabitants of paradise to enter it and the last of the inhabitants of hellfire to exit it. Rajulun yu'ta bihi yawm al-qiyamah, that there's going to be a man who's brought on judgment day. Fayuqalu أعرضوا عليه صغار ذنوبه وارفعوا عنه كبارها. That Allah Ta'ala, it will be said, present to him his small sins, but hold away his larger sins. So just show him some of the smaller ones. It's a beautiful hadith. فتعرض عليه صغار ذنوبه. So he's going to be presented with these smaller sins. فيقال عملت يوم كذا وكذا كذا وكذا وعملت يوم كذا وكذا كذا. So he's going to be asked, or told basically, on such and such day you did such and such deed. On such and such day you did such and such deed. And so this guy's going to be seeing all these minor sins being presented in front of him, and just one after the other. This is the last guy to get out of hellfire. So he's got clearly a lot of sins on him, and he's sitting there and he's getting nervous. فَيَقُولُ نَعَمْ, he's saying yes. Why? لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يُنْكِرَ وَهُوَ مُشْفِقٌ مِنْ كِبَارِ ذُنُوبِهِ أَنْ تُعْرَضَ عَلَيْهِ. That he's sitting there and he has no way to deny anything, and he's completely terrified that maybe once the smaller sins are going to get ran through, then the big sins are going to get mentioned. So this guy, he's panicking, thinking this is just the small stuff. I know I got big stuff going on. So he's nervous. فَيُقَالُ لَهُ, so it'll be said to him, فَإِنَّ لَكَ مَكَانَ كُلِّ سَيِّئَةٍ حَسَنَةً. Then he's going to be told, for every evil deed that you did, it's going to be replaced with a good deed. So this guy sees this equation, he's completely amazed, and what does he do next? فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ قَدْ عَمِلْتُ أَشْيَاءَ لَا أَرَاهَا هُنَا. So the guy's going to say, my Lord, there was a bunch of stuff that I did worse stuff. So a second ago, he was terrified of the big things being shown, right? And now he's saying, no, what about the big stuff? If all of my small deeds are getting replaced into good deeds, no, I got big sins too. So let's check those too, so we can switch those as well. And so, of course, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ضَحِكَ حَتَّى بَدَتْ نَوَاجِذُهُ. That the Prophet ﷺ began to laugh so loud, that so hard that you got to see his full smile, subhanAllah. So it's a very, very beautiful hadith, and it's a very funny scene. The idea of a guy terrified that his big deeds will be shown. And then now he's like, no, let's talk about the big ones too, because he realized that there's a whole exchange going on, so he thinks he's going to profit from it. So subhanAllah, this goes to show Allah's mercy on Judgment Day. Another hadith, the Prophet says, إِنَّ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَخَيْمَةً مِنْ لُؤْلُؤَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ مُجَوَّفَةٍ طُولُهَا 60 مِيلًا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ فِيهَا أَهْلُونَ يَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَلَا يَرَى بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. In paradise there will be for the believer a tent of a single hollowed out pearl. You know how they show you, oh, this was made from one piece of wood. Oh, this was made from one rock. This whole table. You see these in these YouTube videos where they're showing like billionaire homes and stuff like this. Look at this countertop. It was made of one piece of granite, and it's such a big deal. SubhanAllah, can you imagine an entire home that the Prophet is saying? In paradise, there will be for a believer a tent of a single hollowed out pearl, the breadth of which would be 60 miles. We're talking about a skyscraper. We're talking about this gigantic building that is so huge, and this whole thing has been intricately cut out and designed internally. It would be meant for the believer, and the believer would go around it, and none would be able to see others from amongst his family. So this, he has different families, he has different, you could say, wives in paradise, and subhanAllah, custom design, privacy, and they have all different areas. And they don't have any reason to go because they have everything they need. It's so big and it's so lavish, and they have all this privacy and so forth. Another hadith, the Prophet says what? إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةَ يقول الله تبارك وتعالى that when those who enter paradise will enter, when the people of paradise enter paradise, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, تُرِيدُونَ شَيْئًا أَزِيدُكُمْ. Do you want anything else that I give you more? فَيَقُولُونَ أَلَمْ تُبَيِّضْ وُجُوهَنَا. They will respond, Ya Allah, haven't you brightened our faces? أَلَمْ تُدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةَ وَتُنَجِّينَا مِنَ النَّارِ. Didn't you enter us into paradise and take us out from the fire? This hadith is so beautiful because it shows, obviously, if any of us were thinking, I'm going to ask for more and more and more and more, there's actually a point where they're like, listen, I really don't know what else to ask for. I've exhausted everything. Like, I got it all. At this point, there's nothing else to ask for. Like, I understand you can give me anything, but I don't know. That's it. My mind has been completely exhausted. I've asked for everything. فَيَكْشِفُ الْحِجَابِ فَمَا أُعْتُوا شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lift the veil from them, and of all the things given to them, nothing would be more dear to them than the sight of their Lord, the most mighty and the most glorious. So subhanAllah, this is part of the ni'mah, na'iman. This is part of the blessings that the believers will get. And then Allah says what? وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. And Allah uses this word that will relate to the absolute greatest dominion. We think of presidents, we think of people that have incredible cars and boats and yachts and this, that, and the other. That's the مُلْكًا كَبِيرًا that we think of. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, no, this is on a different scale. This is the مُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. I'm defining it as kabir. It's not your concept of kabir. It's Allah Ta'ala's concept of kabir, of greatness. So this is a different level altogether. We don't have the faintest clue of what greatness looks like relative to when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. Most of us think of having dominion like a king. That would be shocking for the layman, but perhaps maybe it would feel commonplace for an actual king in this dunya. However, no, this is the greatness defined by Allah Ta'ala. So even the wealthiest person, the most powerful person, will be absolutely baffled and shocked by it. Also, when you see something magnificent, you want it for yourself. So the very next words, mulkan kabira, so Allah Ta'ala is saying, everything you see, you get to have it. And we talk about that, sal sabila, right? Sal sabila means ask the path. Sal means, is'al, right? Ask. Sabil, ask the path. So this idea of every time you see something you want, you can just ask for it, and subhanAllah, you get it immediately. So whatever dominion you see, it's going to be yours. That's one interpretation. You'll have dominion over everything. It'll be instantaneously yours. And another possibility is that the believers are looking up at the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and subhanAllah, they get to look and see mulkan kabira. True greatness is who? Is the one that is above them constantly, and they get to be grateful to their Lord that they have entered into paradise and they're close to their Lord by seeing the arsh of Ar-Rahman. I just want to finish off with one beautiful poem. Not even a poem, it's just really a couplet. It says, هُنَاكَ سَتَعِيشُ مَلِكًا فِي الْقُصُورِ بَيْنَ الْجَمَالِ وَالْحُورِ أَفَلَا تَكُونَ فِي الدُّنْيَا صَبُورٍ. Which translates to, there you'll be kings with castles in the skies, in blissful beauty and among heavenly wives, so won't you be patient with your worldly lives? I always try to make it rhyme in English. So anyway, it's a very, very, it's short, but it's cute, right? SubhanAllah. هُنَاكَ تَعِيشُ مَلِكًا فِي الْقُصُورِ. There you'll be kings with castles in the skies, right? بَيْنَ الْجَمَالِ وَالْحُورِ. In blissful beauty and among heavenly wives. أَفَلَا تَكُونُ فِي الدُّنْيَا صَبُورٌ. So shouldn't you be patient in this dunya? You know, everything we look forward to, and of course we look forward to lots of different things we'll have in this dunya, but anybody who's older will know that as you get one thing after the other, these things, you get older, you realize that, the desires never end. After getting one thing, you want the next. The only thing that the true intelligent person should focus on is what? Focus on the akhirah. Focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recognize that this life was given to you. Recognize that this is a gift. Recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you infinite blessing if you focus on Him. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who are always reaching for paradise. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings. May Allah ta'ala make us obsessed and constantly connected to the book of Allah, to His book. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.